This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for John Carney today. You may not know this, but there is a championship event going on in St. Louis this week. It is the United States Chess Championships, taking place at the Chess Club and Scholastic Center of St. Louis down on Maryland Avenue. And maybe you've played chess once or twice in your life. Maybe you played it a lot as a kid, as I did. If you're into chess, you can actually watch what's going on. Yes, there is a televised coverage of the chess championships available online at chess24.com and uschesschamps.com. All of this is because of a billionaire from Missouri by the name of Rex Singfield, who set out to make St. Louis essentially the headquarters of chess for the rest of the world, and that's why the championships are here. On that televised coverage, there are a couple of very, 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 very good chess players doing the commentary, and one of them joins me now. Her name is Jennifer Shahadi. She is a two-time women's national champion and also author of a book called Chess Bitch. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you. Always great to be in St. Louis.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Am I right that the eyes of the world have been on St. Louis and chess all week long, and particularly at the Scholastic Center?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, all year long, there's so much going on here in St. Louis, and people are visiting from other countries to attend events like the U.S. Championship and the Singfield Cup that we just had in the fall. That was actually the strongest tournament in history.
Now, when we talk about televising this, it's actually not on TV yet. You're streaming it on those websites, and if that goes well, eventually I assume there's going to be an attempt to get it on television. But most people hear that and go, chess, watching people play chess. I can barely stand watching people play cards on the World Series of Poker. How exciting is it to watch people sit there and look at an 8x8 board with 32 pieces on it and think?
Well, it's very exciting for me. But, you know, I think that it's actually, you know, I also play a lot of poker, and it's similar in that we are really attempting to highlight the most exciting moments. So we're not watching a game while a player is just thinking and with their head in their hands. We're watching when they're making that queen sacrifice and when they're stressed out because they only have 30 seconds to make a move. And the reason we can do that is because we've got 12 games going on at once. So we're taking the highlights from each game, and then we're also, you know, trying to pull out instructional tidbits so that the players at home can learn something. So we're not just, like, sitting there watching one game. We are moving around fast.
So there's a lot of analysis. Here's where these two players are. Here's what the situation is. Here's what we think they might do. Are you doing that sort of thing?
Absolutely, because that's what we're here for. A lot of people at home, you know, they don't might not play chess seriously, so how would they be able to figure out what that grandmaster is thinking? We are there to explain that to them and try to, you know, break it down in human terms too, and kind of show a lot of the emotion that goes into the chess game.
Now, although you yourself are a champion, as you're watching these players who are competing for the chess championships this year, are they surprising you? Oh, I didn't even see that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, because we're there, like, talking, making jokes, like, watching the games, and then sometimes a player will make a move, and we're just like, wow, that is a stunner. In fact, we've got Hikaru Nakamura back in the U.S. Chess Championship. He's actually number 3 in the world. So a massive candidate becoming the world champion one day. And he played an outstanding game yesterday that was really cool. There was an actual, like, checkmate with a knight at the end of the game.
Is it possible to make a living playing chess?
Oh, absolutely. The best chess players in the world make quite a lot of money. And even in America, you have a lot of people that make money from chess as coaches, writers, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because chess and education is considered to be so powerful. You know, it helps kids with their concentration, with their test scores. So even in the St. Louis Chess Club, we've got dozens of teachers going out to hundreds of classrooms, and there is money in that aspect of the game. And there's also some money in playing as well. Like in this championship, we've got almost $500,000 in the prize pool.
Mm.
So if you can get to that level where you're playing at the world elite, U.S. elite, you can definitely make a living from it. But even for somebody who just has a passion for the game, there are careers in chess.
I read that there's a $64,000 prize for any player who duplicates Bobby Fischer's perfect game. What is a perfect game in chess?
Well, it's not actually a perfect game. That's why we play chess, really. Most of the chess players aren't in it for the money, but they're actually in it to play that perfect game. But like so many other things in life, usually if you're passionate about something and aiming for perfection, that is what makes you money. But actually, the $64,000 Bobby Fischer prize is not for one individual game, but it's for getting 11 out of 11, so winning all 11 games.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess a perfect game would be you open up, you make your first move, and the other person just knocks their king over. Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm done.
Oh, I don't know. That's more of an abbreviated game.
Is Bobby Fischer still a topic of conversation in the chess world?
Oh, absolutely. People talk about Bobby Fischer all the time. We just had a show at the World Chess Hall of Fame featuring Bobby Fischer and artifacts from his life, magazines and books that he read. He's a great American hero for many chess players. And even though he ended up quitting chess, like people are still like looking at his games kind of in awe.
Yeah. There's a wonderful movie called Searching for Bobby Fischer about a young chess prodigy, and talks about some of Fischer's history as well. It's a fictional movie, but very, very well done. And, you know, as I guess you're trying to do with the live stream of these events, it humanized chess for a lot of people.
That's right. That is really important to humanize it and, you know, show what the everyday player can get out of the game.
You know, I am old enough to remember watching PBS coverage of the Bobby Fischer-Boris Spassky match in 1972. I even remember the name of the guy who did it. His name was Shelby Lyman, and he didn't have the graphics that are available in the 21st century. It was essentially a cardboard cutout board with pieces made out of paper that they would move and explain what was going to happen, and they had to wait for the next move to come in via teletype from Reykjavik, Iceland. We've come a little way since then, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there was just an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about the amazing new studio that was created just to cover events like this. By Spectrum Studios and Fat Chimp, and they did such an outstanding job. I mean, it looks so high-end. I am always really excited just to go to work in this office, the studio. It's really like a dream come true.
Wow.
Chess lovers, that's what it's like to come to St. Louis. It feels like a utopia. No exaggeration.
I wonder if you ever had a similar experience to the one I had as a kid, because my dad taught me the game. He was actually the chess coach at the high school where he taught, which is not where I went to school. But when I was young, I would play him, and he would never let me win. So the day, and I probably was 13, 14, 15, something in there, the day when I legitimately beat my father was one of the great days of my life up until that point. Did you ever have something like that?
Oh, yeah, my father is a chess master, and my entire family is all about playing games, and we don't really believe in letting people win. That's just not part of the philosophy.
So did you have a day where you beat your dad, and you went, I can't believe I beat my father?
Yeah, I do remember the first times I started beating him, and it was really thrilling. Yeah, we had such different styles. I'm like very aggressive, and he's like more strategic.
Uh-huh.
So it felt great to see those tactics blow up in his face.
Were you an impatient kid saying to him, "Come on, Dad, move! Come on, let's go"?
Yeah, well, generally we play lightning chess games. Contrast to popular belief, you know, chess players actually don't have that great of an attention span. Like, really good at focusing in when they have to, but when it's not absolutely required, they love to just play, like, super quick games. So, like, even the guy I was just telling you about, Hikaru Nakamura, he's known for playing the best one-minute games in the world.
One-minute games?
Yeah, so he'll play a chess game and he'll use only 1 minute. And he crushes his opponent. Like, just like, he could use 1 minute and they could have 10, and he'll just, like, lightning. Yeah.
How many moves are there in a one-minute game?
Well, you can still play. Like, they play a move less than a second. Yeah. I mean, they play so fast. Yeah.
Wow.
That's why people love watching that, and they're like, wow, chess is a lot more physical and a lot less boring than I thought when you see these pieces just flying. Even the dexterity that's required to move that quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned in the introduction, Jennifer, that you are a 2-time women's national champion. I'm surprised that in chess, we need to have a men's champion and a women's champion, because there's no real physical advantage to being a great player. So why the difference there? Are there just so many more boys playing it than girls?
Yeah, and usually there aren't really any men's competitions. Like, it's more just, like, open competitions, and then they have a few different women's competitions every year, just kind of, like, special because there's so few women that play the game. And so we really want to inspire more girls to take up this this great, you know, great mind sport.
Yeah, you know, we mentioned poker before. It has the same problem.
That there's a lot more men. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's the same controversy that they occasionally have these women's tournaments. And I just think it's so funny because it's a really wonderful thing to have all these women meeting and playing and competing and inspiring girls. And yet so often there's negativity and there's pushback. There's like people like, why? And to me, it really shows a lot about how people feel about women playing on such a big stage. The first kind of instinct is to be negative about it, whereas instead you say, well, why maybe this is a good thing, you know?
I think
they also have, like, seniors events and poker tournaments and chess tournaments, and you don't get, like, that kind of, like, wow, why would that ever happen, you know? It's strange to me.
Yeah. I just think it's wonderful anytime I hear about a boy or a girl learning to play chess, not just because I enjoyed the game, although I never play it anymore. I played it a ton when I was a kid myself. But when I hear about a kid who is learning to play chess and falls in love with the game, that tells me that they probably have great critical thinking skills. You agree?
Absolutely. You know, we actually have a 12-year-old girl playing in the U.S. Women's Chess Championship. She's a chess master. She's one of the top players in the country, and she actually won her first game. And it was just so horrible. Like, she's just like, I couldn't believe it. When she's this move, letting me, like, you know, play bishop c5 and win the game. She's like, I felt like, is this real? Is this real life? Because you can just imagine a 12-year-old, like, she's playing in this gorgeous chess club in St. Louis, the capital of chess in America, soon to be capital of chess in the world, really. I mean, we've just got everything going on here. And it's like a dream come true, you know. You fantasize about this from the day you play chess, and then it happens, and for the first game to be a victory, it's like crazy.
Yeah, that's great for her and for everybody else who's involved in it at the 2015 U.S. Chess Championships, going on now through April 14th at the Chess Club and Scholastic Center on Maryland Avenue here in St. Louis. Jennifer Shahadi is a 2-time women's national champion and author of the book Chess Bitch. It is such a pleasure.
That's right.
It is such a pleasure having you on the show today. Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you so much. I had a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.